Welcome back to Shattering Myths. The top headline of Reuters and of the BBC reads that world leaders are demanding answers after the airliner was shot down, killing 298 people. And yet, the answer is obvious. This airliner was shot down because the Ukraine was turned into a war zone, because of a civil war. Same thing's going to happen in Iraq and Syria and Pakistan and Libya. And look at Pakistan. It's Karachi Airport. Most airplanes were destroyed. Libya, Tip and Tripoli, virtually every airplane destroyed. It is what we are should expect going forward. The world is engaged in war. And in war, no one is trying to shoot down. Well, the Muslims are in the case of Libya and Pakistan, and again in Iraq and Syria, they're actually trying to destroy civilian aircraft. But that wasn't the intent of Ukraine. It doesn't matter who fired the pulled the trigger. Does not matter. It's irrelevant. It was an accident, and the accident occurred because the world is fixated on making weapons of war. Because the world is fixated on conflict. Because the world is inspiring conflict. That's why it happened. If you want to keep it from happening, stop making weapons of war. Stop inspiring conflict. And those who are engaged in conflict, expose and condemn them. And, of course, that would mean that the world would not only have to expose and condemn Islam, but it would have to expose and condemn the United States of America. In the second half of the program yesterday, when we were confronted by this new assault to our senses, the downing of an airplane and the loss of 298 innocent lives, most of them Dutch. What we talked about was the fact that there is only one reliable, only one dependable remedy. There's only one way to escape what the world is becoming. The Middle East right now is engulfed in world war. It's a war that's going to spread. The United States is trying to provoke Russia into war. The United States is trying to provoke China into war. And there's only one escape from this, because war is going to come. Countries will continue to go in debt, and there will be anarchy when they finally have to declare bankruptcy. Everything that you have access to now is going to be constrained. You're going to lose access to water and to power and to the internet, to gasoline. Your freedoms are going to be forever constrained. Your mobility constrained. Your access to information constrained. This is the world that we are living in today. It is the world that we are moving into tomorrow, and it is inevitable. There is no way to resolve these problems because there aren't enough sane people in the world. There are not enough moral people in the world. There are not enough rational and informed people in the world to make a difference. These are problems that, yes, can be resolved, but they can only be resolved with knowledge and reason. And there's way too few of that in this world. These are all problems that are exacerbated by weapon systems. These are problems that are exacerbated by politicians and militaries. These are problems that are largely caused by religions. And so, there is no human institution that's going to tell you the truth. There is no human institution that's going to resolve this problem. If you listen to the first part of this program about the truth, about how the United States instigated this war that ultimately led to bringing down an airplane and is now positioning Russia into a corner where the nation really will have no other chance but to lash out. And that we're doing the same thing with China. And yet the biggest conflict in the world now is the world's largest terrorist organization, the most popular, fastest growing, best financed, best equipped, best armed terrorist organization in the history of mankind, is alive and well, all thanks to what the United States has done. These are times, my friends, where you don't have much more time. This is a period in our world history where you really need to get off your duff, where you need to act. If you care about your soul, if you care about your family's soul, if you have any interest in not being a casualty of what is coming, now is the time. You might not have this opportunity tomorrow. Yahweh, which is God's one and only name, introduced himself to humankind through a book known as the Torah, T-W-R-H in Hebrew. Torah is based on the Hebrew verb yara. Yara is the actionable part of Yerushalem. Yara means the source from which teaching, guidance, direction, and instruction flow. This is a time, my friends, where guidance from God is instrumental, where teaching from Him is the only answer that makes any sense. Once you come to understand His perspective, once you understand that He has told us all of this, He has come out in no uncertain terms and condemned the United States far more bluntly than I did in the first hour of this program today for aiding and abetting world war and chaos with our politics, with our interventionism, with our rhetoric, and with our military. And He has gone and told us in no uncertain terms that this war in Greater Syria and Syria and Iraq is going to lead directly to World War III, and that billions are going to die. Gaining His perspective to know that He's not causing these things to happen, we are doing it to ourselves, and He has done everything He can to warn us about these things, which is why He wants us to disassociate from governments and from religion and from militaries and from patriotism, because they're the problem. They are not the solution. There's been no time in human history where it has become as obvious as it is today that your religion is unreliable, that it's a source of false hope, that it's irrational. That whether you are a liberal or conservative or live in America or Australia or in Great Britain, that your government is counterproductive, that they are working against your interests, that they're trying to constrain your freedom and take your savings. Never has it been more obvious that militaries, rather than providing people's independence and freedom, that they are the mechanism that is being deployed to steal it. Let me give you an example. In the Ukraine, when they claimed that they were sponsoring independence from Russia, the Ukrainian military was used to repress anyone who didn't agree. It is the thing that we're going to witness throughout Europe, throughout the United States. There will be no line, no distinction between the military and the police and the judicial system and the spy agencies. They'll all be melded into one. And they will be deployed against the citizens of those countries, just as we witnessed the Ukrainian military deployed against Ukrainians. It will be used to constrain your ability to choose, to exercise free will, not just in the United States, but around the world. God has an alternative plan. But his plan is the antithesis of the human scheme. It takes you in the opposite direction. If you wish to avail yourself of the only reliable solution, you're going to need to turn your back on the myth that militaries provide freedom, the myth that governments provide prosperity, the myth that the religions provide salvation. You need to turn your back on those, to reject those human claims, and to instead come to realize that there is a source of freedom, a source of enrichment, a source of salvation that is being offered to you that is the antithesis of that which is being promised by man. It's real. If you wish to avail yourself of it, God has said clearly, you must first walk away from Babylon, from religion and politics, from militarism, from jaundiced economic schemes. There are no religious people in heaven. There are no Christians in heaven. There are no Muslims in heaven. There's no Hindus in heaven. There's no rabbinical Jews in heaven. Never have been. Never will be. Those who are part of Yahweh's covenant family and who are in heaven, those who are destined to go to heaven, have a number of things in common. But one of those things is that we all have disassociated ourselves from religion and politics, from militarism and economic schemes. We've all walked away from those things. If you wish to join us, if you wish to be part of God's family, if you wish to know him and engage in a relationship with him, if you want to experience salvation, enrichment, and enlightenment, then we invite you to do the same thing. Stop trusting government. Stop aligning yourself with religion. That's the first step. In his Torah, in his book of guidance, Yahweh was kind enough not only to introduce himself to us, but also to explain how we can get to know him and how we can respond to the most generous offer ever made. You see, the Torah, after explaining Yah's role in creation, transitions almost immediately to his relationship with Abraham and how that became Yahweh's priority. And really, everything from that point on, from the middle of the book of Bereshit, Genesis, which is the first of the books of the Torah, everything Yahweh has to say, everything pertains to that same covenant, the familial relationship he created with Abraham and with Sarah. All of the prophets speak of the disillusionment, the divorce that took place in that marriage vow between Yahweh and Israel, because Israel was unfaithful. They disregarded the terms and conditions of the covenant. And yet, the prophets then go on to say that as a result of their adultery, religious adultery, that Israel would suffer consequences. They would be tormented. That ultimately they would be reunited. And that almost all of prophecy then speaks of the reconciliation of Yahweh's relationship with Israel, with Yahudah, and the celebration of that relationship. And based upon Yahweh's nature. The entire book, everything that we read in Hebrew, and the Torah, and the prophets, and the Psalms, exist, therefore, to tell us about this covenant, about the relationship that God created with this man and with his descendants thereafter, and with those of us who long to be adopted into God's family. If you read what he has to say in context, and you're not among those who have been duped to believe that the Torah is the Old Testament and that it doesn't apply to you, if you're not amongst those who have been beguiled into believing that the Torah is laws to be obeyed, if you're rational, if you're inquisitive, if you're open-minded, if you're willing to go where the words lead, and you read what God has to say in context, starting at the beginning and going through the end of what he has to say, which would be through his prophet Malachi, Zechariah, what you find is that it's really only one story. There's only one story that matters. There's only one story that is told over and over and over and over again. It's all God cares about. It's the only reason the universe was created. It's the only reason that he authored life. It was for this covenant. And so you think, well, maybe I ought to consider what this covenant is all about. And you realize, first of all, that it's not called a covenant in Hebrew. It's kind of the term that has been applied to it in English, but that's not the Hebrew word at all. No, the Hebrew word is bereth. This one thing that God introduces early and speaks about all the way through his testimony. The only thing he seems to care about. In fact, it is the only thing. The only thing that he cares about is the promises that he made to humankind regarding this bereth. So what is a bereth? Well, the first thing we learn is that it's based on the Hebrew word be'eth. So be'eth is based upon be'eth. You know what be'eth is, folks? It's the Hebrew word for family and home. Yahweh is offering us the opportunity to become part of his family and to live in his home. That is what the bereth is. It is an invitation for us to become part of his family and live in his home. It is so vastly superior to salvation, it is demeaned hugely to speak of the purpose as being to save. The purpose is to create a family, to live together in a loving home. And we'll speak about what that means when we return to Shattering Myths after the commercial break. I want to reemphasize what we were just talking about. The world is falling apart. It's falling apart in every possible way. In fact, there is none of the things that I'm going to mention now that can be resolved, in any one of which, within 20 years or less, would destroy life on this planet as we know it. We've had a complete collapse of our educational systems, indoctrinating people with political correctness so they've ceased to be rational. We've rendered generations of people incapable of exercising good judgment. They can be manipulated because they can't think. Educationally, we're doomed. There's no resolving the problem. Religiously, we're doomed. You've got the largest religion in the world at war with itself. It's always been at war with itself. It claims that it's based upon the God of its Old Testament, and yet its New Testament condemns everything that God had to say. It's a religion based upon a lie, born out of a lie, completely inconsistent with its own past. You've got the religion of Islam that now is waging war against all humankind, armed to the teeth, soon to have a nuclear arsenal. These are problems that cannot be resolved. Then you have the militarists of the world with more weapons and more effective weapons than man has ever had, with the capability of destroying the world many times over, and with belligerent governments controlling those weapon systems. Just by armed conflict alone, the world has no future. Economically, we're doomed. We're all bankrupt. We're living on smoke and mirrors. We're using quantitative easing to create the impression of solvency. There is no solvency. America's bankrupt. Europe is bankrupt. The currencies are worthless. Any one of those issues, whether it's the militaries and our capability of making things that kill people, whether it's the economics and the fact we're all bankrupt, whether it's education and precluding people from being able to think, whether it's religion of the most enraged and deadly virus ever conceived. There is no hope, folks. There is no solution. There's no fixing any one of these problems. And independently, each of them is deadly. And collectively, it's just ever much more so. You have very little time to respond to what Yahweh has to offer. And yes, while the world will continue to go on until 2033, between now and then, it's going to be increasingly difficult for you to consider Yahweh and what he is offering you in terms of being part of his family. And the reason is that you're going to be constantly cajoled and motivated and prompted in every manner of way into capitulating to go along to get along. You'll comply. You'll give up your freedoms. You'll give up your mobility, your access to information. You'll give up your wealth. You'll surrender one thing after another just to go along, to get along, to survive. And ultimately, governments are going to control more and more and more and more of your life. And ultimately, it's going to be exceedingly difficult to make the right call, to go against the crowd, to say, no, I'm not going to fly that flag. No, I'm not going to salute that flag. No, I'm not going to go to war. No, I am not going to vote for the lesser of two evils. No, I'm not going to make a donation that keeps this church alive. No, I'm not going to pretend that the problem isn't Islam. I'm not going to continue to pretend that our currency has value. Very little time left. And soon, we're also going to move into a period where life has no value, where people are going to die by the millions and then by the billions. And just surviving that long enough to educate yourself and to make this choice, you need to wake up now. Soon it's going to be very difficult. So when you recognize that at its heart, the purpose of the Torah is to guide us to God's family. It's the reason he created the universe. And when you recognize that all God wants is for us to choose to be adopted into his family, and that he wants to enjoy the role of father, and that as a father, it is his desire to lift us up, to make us like he is, immortal, to make us like he is, empowered, to make us like he is, perfect, to make us so that we can enjoy the whole process of being enriched by him, to being enlightened by him. It's the same reason we humans have families, is the opportunity to share our lives with our children, to lift our children up, to teach our children, to spend time with our children, his family. That's all God wants. He is offering us this opportunity to live forever, to be perfected, to be empowered, to be enriched, to be loved, to be protected, yes, and even to be saved. He wants very little for us in return, other than that we participate, that we are willing to examine what he cares about, that we want to spend time with him, that we want to learn, that we want to know, that we want to understand. He expects that not only will we have this thirst for knowing, for understanding, and for sharing, for being part of a relationship, but that once we come to know him and understand what he's offering, that we would respond. We'll recognize that while everyone is invited, it's only one in a million that will answer that invitation to meet with God. You answer the invitation to meet with him by allowing yourself to be guided to where the words lead that are presented in the Torah. This is the best time of your life to walk away from religion, to disassociate from politics, to come out of Babylon. But don't just start this process by disassociating from religion and politics, from patriotism. That's just the first step. Well, God's not going to allow any of that in his home, and he's not going to form a relationship with someone that still clings to those things. That's just the first step. It's liberating, certainly. It takes you into the light. It gives you a much different perspective. But to the next step of that journey that is vastly more rewarding, which is rather than trusting and relying upon your military and your economics plan and your political party and your religion for saving you, trust Yahweh instead. Now, to trust him, you're going to have to get to know him. But that's easy. Just read the Torah. You'll find that he presents himself as dad, as father. You'll find that he's readily approachable. You'll find that he's not fearsome at all. He's rather humble. Yeah, in fact, he's down on his knees, rather ready to lift up anyone who runs to him. He's not expecting perfection from us. As a matter of fact, he knows who we are. It's his job to perfect us. Flawed as we are, passionate as we are, he just simply wants us to recognize that he's offering us an opportunity to be adopted into his family. It's your choice. You can linger here with man and die. You can accept his invitation to be part of his family and live. The option is there for all of us. But you need to know that if you choose to trust and rely on him, that it will cause you to be isolated from the vast preponderance of people. Yahweh twice told us that it would be one in a million that would take advantage of his invitation, that would answer his invitation. One in a million. Thousands amongst billions. But you can be one of them. Your husband or wife can be one of them. Your children can be among them. All you need to do is to begin this journey by disassociating yourself from those things that have beguiled you. And then walk through the words of the Torah to where they lead, to knowing Yahweh, to understanding this family-oriented relationship he's offering, so that you come to accept it and trust and rely upon him. And then you'll find yourself answering his invitations to celebrate this relationship with him. There are 7 days each year that we are invited to party with our Creator, to have a feast with him, to celebrate our relationship, 7 days each year. And you'll find that once a week you can revel in this relationship on the Shabbat, enjoying the freedom that we have as God's children. He wants us to walk to Him along the path that He has provided. Begins at the doorway of Passover, on yeasted bread, firstborn children, the promise of seven. Ultimately, then leading to Teruah, where we shout out a warning to those who are on the wrong path, that there is a proper way to approach God. The Day of Reconciliations follows, and then Sukkah, where we camp out with our Heavenly Father for all time. That's what He's offering. It is amazing that since it is such a generous offering, it is amazing since it is the only escape from a world that is collapsing all around us in every possible way, that there are so few people that have availed themselves of His offer. And you do so, my friends, by closely examining and carefully considering the terms and conditions of this family-oriented covenant relationship in the Torah. Most of those who listen to this program in the West, whether that be the United States, Canada, places throughout Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, even throughout Europe, the places where there are individuals who speak English, live in societies that are dominated by the religion of Christianity. If you are a Christian, you have been deceived. I'm encouraging you to become informed and to think. I want you to go where the words lead. The reality is that Christianity is based on a pile of lies. And until you recognize that and disassociate with the religion, there is no hope for you to participate in the covenant. There is no Jesus. There is no Christ. There most certainly is not a Jesus Christ. God's name is not the Lord. There is no Trinity. There is no cross. There is no church. The term Christian is bogus. Christmas and Easter are pagan. Sunday worship is pagan. Faith is irrelevant from God's point of view. God did not die for your sins. God cannot die. There was no bodily resurrection. Every statement I've just made is irrefutable. Any amount of evidence, any amount of research on your behalf will demonstrate that. The covenant has not been renewed. There can be no New Testament. God has only one testament. It has not changed. Paul was demon-possessed by his own admission. By his own admission, he was insane. Read 2 Corinthians. His letter to the Corinthians, he admits that he was demon-possessed. He admits that he was insane. His every word serves to contradict what God actually had to say. Half of the Christian New Testament is based upon a series of letters that were written by a man who was demon-possessed, who was insane, who was in league with the adversary and decided to create a religion that would take everyone who was beguiled by it away from God. By the end of Paul's life, there was no one that believed him. He was rejected by everyone who listened to him, by everyone who read his letters. He had no followers. Those who knew him best discarded what he had to say. Unfortunately, the Greek and Roman influence on the world that arose in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th centuries changed all of that. And they created a religion that was based on the religions of old, on the Babylonian religion, particularly as it was manifest through the Greek religion and the Roman religion. The caricature known as Jesus Christ is based almost entirely on Dionysus, bears almost no resemblance to the actual individual, what he said and what he did. But it is the smitten image for Dionysus, the son of the sun, born of a mortal. Every aspect of it, from death and resurrection to conception on Easter to being born on the winter solstice, Christmas Day, it's all Dionysus. You've been lied to about the Trinity. You've been lied to about a New Testament. You've been lied to about a fellow named Jesus. You've been lied to about Christ. You've been lied to about Lord. You've been lied to about God dying for your sins. All of it. Open your head. Open your eyes. Think it through. Come to embrace the truth. Go where the words lead. If you're a Christian, you don't have much time left to discard the religion. Now, if you're a Roman Catholic, I'm not sure there's any hope for you. I mean, if everything that has been learned about the Roman Catholic Church hasn't dissuaded you to disassociate from them, I doubt there's anything that ever will. And if you're a zealot evangelical Christian, you're probably too blinded by your faith to ever consider reason or evidence. But if you're open to the truth, if evidence and reason appeals to you, then please consider what Yahweh has to say.